This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
In the meantime, a bombshell report, another one from the State Department, revealing nearly 30,000 visas have been issued to people from terror-sponsored countries since 2007. Robert Gray joins us now live from Los Angeles with more on President Trump's renewed call to ban lottery-based programs. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Heather. That's right. The so-called diversity visas have become a lightning rod for criticism, especially after last week's terrorist attack in New York City. Now, a White House email Monday detailing State Department statistics showing that since 2007, the U.S. issued nearly 30,000 permanent residence visas to people from nations designated as sponsors of terrorism. Now, take a look at the numbers. Some two-thirds of the visas went to individuals from Iran, some 21,000, and then you also have 7,200 to Sudan, and the rest from Syria. Those are the only three countries designated by the State Department as sponsors of terrorism. Now, the program offers a lottery for up to 50,000 immigrant visas each year, drawn from random selection among all entries to individuals who are from countries that have low rates of immigration to the U.S. President Trump has taken to Twitter and calling for ending the program, saying it presents significant vulnerabilities to national security, and the Attorney General has also spoken out on the issue.
A merit-based system, by definition, would be safer than a lottery. Terrorist tactics are evolving, and we are adapting our own tactics to meet the challenge.
GOP lawmakers, who not always are behind the president, including Senators Lindsey Graham and John McCain, also calling for immigration reform and that merit-based system you heard the AG mentioning. Now, the opposition picking up after the New York attack that left eight people dead a week ago. Saifullah Saipov facing terrorism charges. He immigrated to the U.S. from Uzbekistan in 2010 with a diversity visa. Top congressional Democrats say these visa recipients face the same vetting as all other immigrant visa programs. Critics in the State Department have pointed out the program's flaws since at least 2004, and a 2013 bipartisan measure would have done away with the program, but it failed to pass the Senate. Heather, back to you.
Well, you know, I understand you're hearing this and you're thinking, why is this, why are we having much conversation about this? This should just be a no-brainer. Scott, I mean, is it any wonder that people, you know, why they're so frustrated at the incompetence of our government, that they choose to make this, you know, such a complicated issue when it should be so simple? Because, you know, you still have to look at it. And this is what we appreciate about Donald Trump. I mean, he's looking at it as a national security issue above all. I mean, God forbid something happens, you know, that heretofore that these activist judges and progressives have been involved in delaying, you know, the process of restricting people's easy access, and the diversity visa just brought it more to light. You know, Main Street America is going, what are you talking? Why are we even doing this? Not to mention all the other stuff that we, as we mentioned earlier, where 11 cities are providing free legal help to help illegal immigrants. I mean, what other country can you go to and get free legal help, you know, with your immigration issues? Only in America, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave, and maybe the land of some knuckleheads here or something, that we keep voting in politicians that somehow in their flawed logic thinks that, you know, this is, you know, this is acceptable, that somehow there's some benefit, you know, for we the people. I don't know. I'm missing something here. Maybe you can help me understand. Drop me an email. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, it's International Girls Day today. Loosen up and lighten up day, Martinez, okay? National American Teddy Bear Day. I guess we're supposed to hug a teddy bear. Go make one, I guess. National Pickle Day, too, you know, for you sour pusses. And, how about this? National Spicy Guacamole Day. Not just guacamole. I mean, we're talking spicy guacamole day. It's Bill Martinez here with you. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us, sharing the ride. Good to be sharing a part of your day with you. I'm Bill Martinez. We are live, and Robin Drake joins us now. Entered federal law enforcement in 1997 after graduating from the U.S. Naval Academy and serving in the U.S. Marine Corps, Semper Fi, Robin. He received advanced training and operational experience in social psychology and in the practical application of the science of relationship development. Eventually, he rose to direct the behavioral analysis program in a federal law enforcement agency. Robin, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, before we talk about the code of trust, I want to get your perspective on this controversy that I believe has gone too long, because it's not getting its proper due in terms of support of what President Trump tried to do in speaking with the Gold Star widow and the way that's blown out. I mean, it is a shame. I mean, you know, General Kelly talked about the sacred areas of our life, how they've been compromised. And certainly this is one of those that, regardless of his admonition, the press cannot help themselves and some politicians cannot help themselves but to obliterate the sacredness of a fallen soldier.
Yeah, it was... First of all, you know, spending almost a lifetime of being in federal service, you know, I don't take sides on anything. But what I will say is also a former Marine, mm-hmm. I found General Kelly's statement to be pretty majestic. It was mm-hmm. probably the most Reagan-esque-like speech I've heard in a very long time where I didn't. And again, this goes to the core of trust. You know, some people will always take things to their own context and argue context for their own agendas. And that's a shame because I really thought it was a very well and heart-spoken speech about his own son and his own experiences and also what it means to be a patriot.
Exactly. And in no time, I was shocked. I don't know why, but I was just shocked because here he is. He opened up his heart, his experience, shared, you know, some private areas of his life with us. And the operatives in the mainstream media could not help themselves. And, in fact, even one congressman said, well, the only reason he said that was to save his job. Really? I mean, that I there's lost opportunity, as you say, just like, you know, we're going to talk about the code of trust. With the code of trust brings opportunity of growth and understanding that puts it at a whole nother dimension. And right now, see, we're at kind of like low level. It's like we're playing jacks when everybody's playing chess. And we just we cannot seem to migrate to the chess level. We're not even in checkers right now, Robin. We're down there in the jacks level, and yeah. And it's a shame, you know.
It is, and it's predictable to some extent, only because you know when people get emotionally hijacked, you know, and they let frustration, anger, resentment, and all these functions of the brain that get in their way of cognitive thought processes, where they're actually not even thinking about what their actually end goals is that they're trying to achieve. And they allow themselves to, you know, kind of bounce around according to whatever stimuli they're getting, according to their emotions. It's going to start undermining their message of what they're trying to do. And that's both sides of the house, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is where a vision is so important right now, because when we get off kilter, as we will, we're human beings, we're gonna do this. It just reminds me of Steinbeck's of Mice and Men, you know, with the constant theme was, Lenny, tell me, where are we going? Where are we going to live? Oh, let me tell you, you know, and he'd start pronouncing the dream and the vision of being on a lake and they're fishing and the time that they were going to have together. You know, and I think that's what's missing here in our government right now, is that we need to have that constant. You know, when I was consulting CEOs across the country, this is one of the things that I stressed to them repeatedly, Rob. And I said, your number one job is you got to beat the drumbeat of the mission, reminding people constantly of where you're going and how you're doing to that end. That is your number one job. I can imagine sometimes it gets wearing, may even get a little bit boring, but that's what the people want to hear from you. And I believe that's what's missing from the dialogue in our political environment right now, from the leadership, is that when Trump reminds everybody about the hill we're going after and how we're doing with that objective, he does well. When he gets caught off in all these other noise things, you know, these distractions, it takes away from that operation and it exacerbates the look away of the constituency to see, okay, this is still our focus. We're still moving in the right direction, because we do have a lot of positive things to talk about right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I call it the means goals to the ends goals, and people think you have to achieve the means to get to the ends, but I'm a believer in that you have to start with the ends first. And the ends that
exactly.
I think we can all agree upon is we're seeking, you know, prosperous, safe lives for our families. Mm-hmm. You know, in our communities, you know, if we can all agree on the fact that we're seeking prosperity and safety, and then you start working backwards, then you actually all have a common goal. And how to get there becomes the new debate.
Well, and I think that that's part of the problem that we have, is that what clearly has come out here in the recent years is the ends. We're seeing different ends here, I think, frankly. You know, I think that, you know, you and I talk and we say, you know, and especially with me being a former Marine as well, just like, you know, we've been saying with that conversation that Trump had and, you know, with the widow and even how General Kelly related, it was somebody in the military relating to him. What is everyday code of anybody that joins the military? It's what we sign up to do. We understand that. But somebody who's not in the military doesn't understand that language. That's a different vernacular. And unfortunately, you even have a congresswoman who doesn't understand that vernacular either, because if she did, she would have come alongside that widow and helped her out in her time of need, not exacerbate the emotion.
You know, and I really thought General Kelly did a great job of describing, you know, one of saying that it was courageous to even attempt that phone call, because there's nothing you can say to a mother, a wife, a child that's just lost someone like that. I mean, it's heart-wrenching, and they don't want to hear from anyone except, you know, like General Kelly said, his buddies that talk about the kind of man he was and the kind of person he was, and that he was surrounded by people who cared and loved him. Mm-hmm. And that's all, if you're going to say anything, that's really all you can say. So anything more than that is going to be a dice roll, and you can't argue with the widow's context. You know, she doesn't want to hear from anyone.
Right, exactly.
And God bless her for it.
Yeah. And General Kelly made that admonition to the president, and also said, and maybe somewhere down the road, what will endear her when she gets to that point to have ears to hear is the fellow soldiers who knew her husband. You know, she claimed that the president didn't know his name and that sort of thing, but he served with guys that knew his name. And no doubt he probably had a nickname. You know, and it wasn't LeDavid. It was probably some nickname there out in the field that they assigned to him that was a loving and respectful sort of way and built and added to the camaraderie, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no greater bonding moments in life than shared suffering, whether it's in combat or just being in situations like that. And the bond you have with your fellow man in those situations is insurpassable.
And they know her husband in ways that she will never know. It's impossible, because you know, she's not in that field, in that environment, that, as you say, that life and death environment. So hopefully, you know, she will be open to be blessed by his fellow comrades that would love nothing better but to remember and memorialize LaDavid Johnson. More from Robin Drake on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Protect your family this holiday season with affordable leather ID Stronghold wallets and purses. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time at idstronghold.com. That's coupon code PRESENT, also available at walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, or QVC. idstronghold.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA, DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
I know some days it does seem like Mission Impossible, doesn't it? I'll tell you, Robin Drake is with us to give us some advice and counsel from his book, Code of Trust and American Counterintelligence Experts, Five Rules to Lead and Succeed. Robin is currently an agent of the FBI, lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I was just sharing with him that being a Southern California boy, my first visit to Fredericksburg was quite spectacular because it was during autumn when the leaves just turn all kinds of different spectacular bright orange colors and red colors and everything. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm a Southern California boy. All the leaves, they turn to smug brown. You know, that's all it is. So it was quite you said the leaves are just starting to turn and there's
finally
God's beautifying project over Fredericksburg these days, huh?
Yeah, definitely. We've had some kooky weather, and even today it's pretty balmy and about 70 degrees. So the fall's been a little delayed, but our leaves are starting to finally go. Actually, I'm a pilot. I do angel flights as a volunteer, I'll be going up later this weekend to see the turning up in the mountains.
Well, at least you're not in L.A. 100 degrees in L.A. for the first game of the World Series. You imagine what that's going to be like.
Yeah,
hot.
Setting a record.
Without a doubt. Well, Robin's also, he's currently an agent of the FBI, and you didn't have to get freed from an NDA in order to come on the show, did you?
No, but that's why I got to make sure my thoughts and opinions are representing myself and my book alone and not any other organization.
Exactly. Well, that's what we hear these days, so that's the only reason I bring it up. Is anything has to do with the FBI and NDA, that's the order of the day. But let's talk about your book, The Code of Trust. What is The Code of Trust?
The Code of Trust is actually a system I devised because I needed it terribly. Having that, as you read through my background, it's a very typical type A hard charger. But when you work in the world of counterintelligence where 99.9% of the people you're interacting with have not committed a crime, there's really no reason why they should want to have a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that hardcore approach at them, their shields are going to be up and they're going to walk away, and they're totally entitled to. So I really had to start understanding really what the core of leadership was and how do you make it about someone else. And the difference is, stop trying to convince people of doing things because you really can't, and start thinking in terms of how can you inspire them to want to. And so that's right. The real key of the Code of Trust is inspiration.
Wow. Yeah, because unless you have that trust, that relationship, that bridge of communication, so to speak, you're irrelevant, aren't you?
Yeah, no one's going to take any action. Why would they?
Yeah,
I did an article a number of years ago that this was based on, that I really took a step back and looked at what am I actually doing every time I'm consulting for case agents across the country and all my own stuff I'm doing. And what I realized was every single instance of not just work but my entire life, anytime there's at least one person involved, was I was actually strategizing trust. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're trying to sell a product, sell a service, sell yourself, resource or someone else's, you're strategizing trust, because no one's going to take any action with you or for you unless you have it.
Exactly. Well, you say sell yourself. And see, I came from the genre in marketing and sales, and most of my life was that was the number one proposition, is that there had to be quote unquote chemistry between you and the other person. If there wasn't, no matter how bad I needed that service, I wasn't going to, I'll go around you. I'm going to find somebody else to get it from. You know, thanks for letting me know that that's what I need, but I'm just not going to get it from you because I don't trust you.
Absolutely. And chemistry comes down to the language you can use, because, I'm freakishly obsessed with behavior. Mm-hmm. And there's four things you can do to make chemistry and to make trust. And that is seek someone's thoughts and opinions, because when you're doing that, you demonstrate value, you demonstrate affiliation. Mm-hmm. Talk in terms of their priorities. What's important to them? Needs, wants, dreams, aspirations, personal, professional, long-term, and short-term. Validate them. In other words, not necessarily agreeing with them, but validation means seeking to understand who they are and how they have their opinions that they do. And finally, empower them with choice, because we don't give people choices unless we value them as well. And
exactly.
When you do at least one of those four things and everything you say, you're actually creating chemistry of trust.
Exactly. And I like the idea about validation, because I think that's the biggest disease that has crept into our culture in the last several decades. And that is the invalidation of people, their voice, the very person who they are. To me, I find that quite disgusting.
It's a, you're right. It's a challenge because we're ancient tribal beings, you know, ancient tribal man. We were part of the tribe 40 or 50. And what we actually always thought was to seek and to be accepted because it was genetically good for our survival.
Yeah, exactly.
And what we're always seeking is that validation, that seeking to understand. A lot of times people understand that someone else is in charge and they're going to set the rules. But as long as someone feels like they've been heard and understood, you're willing to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Validation is to a lot of everything we do because people just want to be heard and understood rather than argued with.
And you're talking about these principles of leadership here that you're touching on, and we're seeing them on full display. We can see it applicable with the NFL currently, if I might bring that into play, without getting into a big discussion. But I think it's an appropriate example of knowing that you're hearing what people are saying, you understand it, but I'm sensing it's not there, which is a breakdown in leadership is what it comes down to.
Yeah, you have, you know, there's multiple sides to everything. You know, everyone has their own context of what is to them from their perspective. And here's a guarantee. If you want shields to be up and people not listen to you, argue that context.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever side you're on, it doesn't matter. I can guarantee the behavior. If you're going to not validate it, in other words, not necessarily agree with it, but just understand exactly what it is they're saying. Because as we're seeing, you know, from these debates, there's a lot of reasons why people are taking knees or putting a fist in the air, not just what other people think it is. I mean, there's so many differing views on this that no one's having a universal context of what is, and they're just arguing their own point of view. And where's it getting you? It's getting
exactly
nowhere.
Well, there's no way you can communicate because our focus of reality, our sense of reality is so different from one player to the next. And that came out resoundingly clear after 2 days of meetings with the players and the owners. And Roger Goodell had to report to everybody. And he even afterwards, he kind of had that deer in the headlight kind of look like going, well, we talked about a lot, but I'm not sure that we came to any focus and going, whoa, man, that's dangerous. You're talking a multi-billion dollar business organization here that you're putting all at risk, not to mention the fact that the fans want to get on with their weekend escape. You know, they were looking forward to football, and they like being able to watch a game on TV and do all the things that go along with watching football, the escapism and all, and now they're being deprived of that. Robin, you talk about the five principles of trust. Break that down for us.
Sure. The five are really quick and simple. Simple to say, maybe not as so simple to execute. The first is to suspend your ego. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you make it about someone else other than yourself? And that's putting your own agenda aside to make sure you're a resource for others, first and foremost. Be non-judgmental is number two. Again, and actually just what you're talking about right now, when you start judging people's context, shields are up. So you have to be non-judgmental so you can seek to understand. When you do that, tolerance starts ensuing. Then on a reason, you know, how do you make sure that you maintain cognitive thought processes without getting emotionally hijacked? So that, and that's what leaders do. Leaders are emotionally attached. This is a code of empathy, if nothing else. But in order to maintain good leadership, you have to be objective. And that's what honor reason means. Validate others, which we talked about already. And finally, be generous. And that is, you know, offer without an expectation of reciprocity. So my third anchor that I talk about a lot with things that I do is I make myself an available resource for others without any expectation of reciprocity. And that's what leaders do. You know, leaders make, you know, themselves a resource for the success and prosperity of others without judgment about where it is that the others are trying to go.
Once again, proving the old adage that it's better to give than receive, right?
Absolutely, especially sometimes people ask me, so, you know, when do you get your reward? Well, if my entire goal was to be a resource for your prosperity and you're prosperous, that's when I get my reward.
Amen to that. The big takeaway, after all is said and done, Robin, we got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I'd say do two things in life. Seek to understand the greatness in others and then understand their priorities and always talk in terms of them and offer yourself as a resource for them all.
Well, Robin Drake has been our guest who entered law enforcement in 97 after graduating from the U.S. Naval Academy, serving in the U.S. Marine Corps. He is currently an agent of the FBI and lives in Virginia, as we said. His book, The Code of Trust, an American Counterintelligence Expert, gives five rules to lead and succeed. The book available at all the usual places and will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Robin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it a lot, and it was a great conversation.
Semper Fi.
If you are age 85 or younger, Call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
When you have sleep apnea, traveling can be a real drag because you have to drag your big, bulky home CPAP device with you everywhere you go. But not anymore. Now you can travel easily and sleep comfortably anywhere thanks to Transcend, the world's very first mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. So call now, 1-800-962-5369. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so incredibly small and light, you can easily fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't delay. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-962-5369. Again, that's 1-800-962-5369.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Fresh, just the way you like us every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Jed Mikosko joins us, and I've been looking forward to this conversation because we're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite authors, a devotional that I have used forever, it seems like, my utmost for his highest. We're talking about Oswald Chambers. Dr. Mikosko is a professor of physics at Wake Forest University in North Carolina, holds a B.S. from MIT, a Ph.D. from UC Berkeley. See, what happens if you don't burn down buildings and you fight the good fight? You too can get a Ph.D. from UC Berkeley. I'm just telling you, right? Right, Jen?
That's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to know what to fuss and fight over, and if you're doing too much fussing and fighting, then Oswald Chambers is something I would prescribe for you. Boy, there's just something so special about his devotional, Jed, and many times, you know, I will read certain aspects of My Utmost for His Highest, and I go, I know I've read this before, and even sometimes on first blush, you know you're reading something that is very profound. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't a surface type of type of perspective, right? I mean, you definitely you know bring a shovel because you're going to go deep.
Yeah, it's kind of the graduate level of devotionals. One person described it to me.
Right. Well, I'm glad to be talking to you because for some people, you know, that are looking at, well, tomorrow is the 15th, and there's something special about November the 15th, right?
Yes. This is the day that Oswald Chambers died, which is not normally a day that you would celebrate. You'd try to celebrate his birthday or some other famous event in his life. But in his case, people celebrate his death because it really opened the door to an incredible ministry of books that would not have happened if he hadn't passed away in an untimely manner. So that's kind of why it's celebrated, and it's regarded as a good day, because that's what led to My Utmost for His Highest being published.
Right. And then, of course, here we are, 100 years on his death, and we've got a new book that you're participating in, and this is Utmost Ongoing.
That's right. Yeah, so it's a book that pays tribute to My Utmost for His Highest and to the lives of Oswald and his wife Biddy, and how their writings have really helped us. So Oswald was the one who spoke the words, and Biddy was the one who copied them down on her notepads at the same speed that he could speak, so she could take shorthand that fast.
Well, we may need to explain to millennials what notepads were.
Yeah, notepads. Yeah, it was a primitive dictation system, but it really worked effectively, and she stacked up all these little spiral-bound pieces of paper, notepads, and kept them in a safe spot. And then when he passed away, she started going through them and dug out really the treasures and gems within them and put them together in 366 short readings.
Exactly.
That's what we call My Utmost for His Highest. So it's his words, but her editing. And her
how she blessed us for doing that, Jen.
Oh,
huh?
My gosh. And it took her 3 years of going through at a steady rate through those journals. And that was after 7 years of working on other books and sort of getting a feel for what was in those journals. So she spent 7 years preparing a few other books, and I could just only imagine her looking at stacks and stacks of journals and saying, gosh, you know what I really need to do is take kind of the cream of the crop of all of this stuff and put it into a day-by-day devotional, which is exactly the kind of thing that, while he was living, Oswald did for the troops in World War One. He created these little things called seed thoughts, and they would put it in the breast pocket of their uniforms, and every day they would look at it. It would only actually be a few sentences long, but it would get their minds thinking about something productive. That's why he called them a seed thought. It kind of was a seed planted in their minds.
Wow.
And throughout the day, they would have that on their mind, and then the next day, they would have a new seed thought. So his wife really felt like a daily short devotional would be something that would truly honor his spirit of how he liked to do things and how he wanted to bless people.
Boy, you talk about his legacy going forward from, you know, World War One, starting with seed thoughts, to My Utmost for His Highest, and, you know, the partnership of he and his wife and how they have, you know, continued to bless, the next legacy of Christian fighters, you know, that go forward, right?
Right. Wow. And it's a blessing because what they've done is they've put these seed thoughts, these daily, you know, two or three paragraphs of thoughts together in a way that that can really reach anybody's mind. I mean, like you said, they're very deep. But even if you don't have that kind of depth and you just sort of read through them, it still points you in the right direction. It points you away from yourself and towards the higher calling that God has on everyone's life.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's really a useful book, and it's obviously helped a lot of people to sort of get their minds off themselves and back on where their minds should be.
Exactly. Well, Jen, you and your wife, Cecilia, now that I have her name correctly, as it should be, you're involved with this new release, Utmost Ongoing, and you and other authors and contributors are making up a different chapters, I guess, to Utmost for His Highest. Explain to our audience Utmost Ongoing.
There are 27 different chapters, and each of them takes a short quote out of My Utmost for His Highest that was meaningful to the person who wrote that particular chapter. So people would pick out a little quote from one of the 366 readings, and then they would, you know, sort of expand on how that particular quote helped them in their life or what it means kind of in a daily way. And it's a book full of different stories about how people have kind of found their way back to God, found their way back to something much bigger than themselves. And a lot of people, like myself, have been at points in their lives where they just didn't really know where to turn. They knew that there was something that they really wanted, but God didn't seem to really be giving it to them. And they needed to just let go of that desire to have that thing. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I've always dreamed of becoming a professor. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a professor, and growing up, it just seemed like just the perfect job for me.
Right.
There was a point in my life where it didn't look like I was going to be able to be a professor, keep my job as a professor, because nothing seemed to be working out.
Mm-hmm.
And it really put a lot of stress on my life. And it was at that point that I decided that I would just turn it all over to God and let him have final say in whether I got to achieve that goal or not.
Wow.
And it was actually also at the same point in my life where I started rereading through My Utmost for His Highest and got more involved in it. In fact, you may know that my wife and I also wrote an earlier book that kind of goes through and helps people understand each reading. It's kind of like a workbook or a study guide that goes along with each reading. And it was during that time of giving up my dream of becoming a professor that I worked on the beginning stages of that book.
Wow, what a monument there, and a great story. Jed, you know, the thing is so impressive when I look at the list of contributors to Utmost Ongoing. I mean, you're a physics professor, your wife, a family doctor. We've got an author, a speaker, another physician, former CEO of Christianity Today International, contemporary Christian musician, pastors, authors, writers. I mean, the breadth of talent commenting. Johnny Erickson Tada, I guess, is also involved as one of the contributors. I mean, this is insightful, and what I appreciate about it is that it gives you kind of a broad breadth of contributors to understanding Oswald Chambers, but also, you know, like for you, you know, with your professorial and scientific mind, can speak to those who are sensitive to that language, and as you found out previously. So congratulations to the entire team in putting this on together. Now stay with us, because we've got another segment to do right after this important break, because we've got light bills to pay. You know how that works, right?
Okay.
All right, stay with us. More from Jed McCosko right after this. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Back with the America 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Tomorrow, November the 15th, marks the 100th year anniversary of Oswald Chambers. Utmost ongoing, this new book celebrates the legacy of Oswald Chambers, recognizes his life's impact on the modern Christian community through the stories of many believers who have taken courage from My Utmost for His Highest. Each segment is authored by a Christian leader, an author, theologian, scientist, musician, or other figure who has seen the extraordinary effects of My Utmost for His Highest in his or her life. Citing dated entries from the devotional, the authors chronicle those moments in which the book spoke to their challenges and their longing for unity with God. With us to give his personal testimony and further our conversation is one of the contributors, Dr. Jeb Mikosko, a professor of physics at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. Jed, as a professor, how has My Utmost for His Highest and your devotion to, to the legacy of Oswald Chambers, and as you mentioned, you and your wife, Cecilia, have written your own book to really, you know, break down and dig deeper into Oswald Chambers' thoughts and words that he and his wife put together. Mm-hmm. But as a physics professor at Wake Forest University, how did you first come upon Chambers' work?
Well, actually, it was when I was still in college, and I was away for the summer with a Campus Crusade summer mission trip, mm-hmm. and there was a guy living in the same room as me who was from New York City. Mm-hmm. And I remember him talking about how he really liked this book, My Utmost for His Highest, and how it helped him as he was living out his life, working as a grocery clerk and bagging things and stocking things. And he would go in the back and stock cans on the shelf and say, "Christ, Christ, none but Christ." Mm. He had this great New York accent. And this sounded so interesting. I had to, find myself a copy, read a few of the entries and thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. But I put it down for several years. And it wasn't until later in life when I was going through a crisis that I really picked it up and read it cover to cover.
Mm-hmm. Now, the words of Oswald Chambers, as we were talking about earlier, those seeds, and appropriately so, as it started out, as you said, seeds that he passed on to, the soldiers to inspire them. And boy, I'll tell you, those seeds, even in my life today,
you know, and I'm sure for you where you've read them and then all of a sudden, you know, they start budding and it's not necessarily immediate, but, I found quite often and I echo the, I'll find myself echoing words that I've read, you know, years ago from Oswald Chambers. It has that kind of impact, doesn't it?
It does. It sinks in and it goes deep. And I think it's because he himself went through a very difficult time in his early and mid-20s, where for 4 years he felt like he was inches away from going to an insane asylum. And he said it wasn't but for the grace of God and the support of his friends that he stayed out of the institution and managed to, you know, to make it through those 4 years. And after the 4 years and after the trauma of being at that very dark point in his life, I think he had a different perspective about life. And when he spoke from the perspective that, you know, we don't have anything without God. We really don't.
Yeah.
And I think when he writes or when he speaks those things, his wife then wrote them down, we get a sense that this is a man who really understands that there's really only one thing that matters in life, and that's our relationship with God.
He strikes me as one that passionately sought God. He was a seeker of God. And it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't like on the surface level. It's like, you know, God, you said that you're available to be known intimately. And I want to know you as intimately as humanly possible. That's my impression. Is that what you feel as well?
Yeah. The interesting thing, Bill, is that he was like that before his 4 years of darkness. When he was a young boy, his family members, and he had a lot of siblings, would come and hide outside of his bedroom door to listen to him pray, because he prayed so fervently to God and, you know, really felt like they felt like he was communing with the God of the universe. But you know, so he was a guy who was passionate all the way through. I think what happened during those 4 years of darkness is he changed from a man who said, you know, I'm passionate about God and you should be too. He kind of had a bit of an edge to him.
Right.
So after those 4 years, he realized that it's just all by God's grace. And, you know, you don't need to judge somebody if they don't have a close walk with God. You don't need to point your finger at them. In fact, before his 4 years of darkness, he would travel around as a very young preacher to different churches in Scotland. And one of these church communities wrote back to the headquarters and said, don't send that preacher again. Because they felt like he was too hard on them, too harsh. And,
right.
And I don't think you would ever get that impression after those 4 years that he was a harsh person. I think those 4 years were really used by God to help him have a softer look on the rest of the world, the rest of everyone. And I think when you read My Utmost, you get that sense. And I think it sinks in so that people who read My Utmost over the period of years, especially as they go through their own struggles, become softer individuals.
Why do you think Chambers' words have affected so many people?
Well, I think that's because so many people go through hard times. And since he was a man who was really intimately connected with that, the words he wrote don't come across as trite or condescending. They really come across as understanding from a person who's been through it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when he talks about how God orchestrates our situation to drive us back closer to God, he's not just saying that as words like, oh, this is what we know is true. He's saying that as somebody who's been through it.
Exactly.
And, you know, he had to give up a lot just to, you know, to leave his comfy environment in London and go down to the front down in Egypt where they were fighting against the Turks. And he ultimately, it obviously cost him his life down there.
Yeah.
So he understood that the role that difficulties can play in driving us back to God.
Well, you know, when you have experienced God, like the Bible says, those who know their God will do mighty exploits. And that whole concept of mighty exploits, when you really dig into that, it is incredibly and an extraordinary experience. And for Oswald Chambers, who pursued God and got to know God throughout his life and witnessed the faithfulness of God through his knuckleheadedness, because we, you know, we're human beings. I mean, we think we know God and we're out there and saying, hey, let me, get out of my way. You know, I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
until we learn the hard way to realize that, you can't do it, on your own, and you certainly need God's love, as you just pointed out, to kind of smooth out the edges. Otherwise, you know, as I was talking to somebody the other day, we were talking about the double-edged sword, you know, that God has given us. And I said, you know, sometimes we look at the sharpness of the sword when it is used, we think, you know, against the enemy, but it's double-edged, which means that it can come back and cut you as well, because maybe we need as much cutting, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's the one person in our relationship with God that God is most concerned about. It's not the people on the outside of us. It's us. It's one person that God cares about as that one lost sheep that he's going to go after. And in each of our lives, that's really all it means. I was struck today by something that Oswald wrote. He said that other people's lives are like parables. And as you know, when Jesus told the parables, he didn't always want people to understand them. Some people would never understand the parables, and the people who did understand them, he had to explain them to those people later. So when Oswald says that other people's lives are like parables, he means that we can sort of see what God's doing in other people's lives, but we really don't always understand.
Mm-hmm.
All we can know is what God is doing in our lives.
Exactly.
And he has one goal in mind, and that is for intimacy with him.
Amen.
And everything that he does is orchestrated to promote that intimacy.
Well, Jed, you know, people hear Oswald Chambers, we're celebrating, we're remembering, you know, his 100th year passing. It reminds us of the great work he did, you know, for you and these other contributors to be involved with utmost ongoing. I mean, you know, what a blessing. But, you know, some people may say, well, you know, that's from some dead guy, you know, from 100 years ago. What, how meaningful is that for me today? You know, because things have changed. I mean, here we are, we're talking about notepads, and, you know, this is the 21st century, you know.
Right.
So what does he have to know about the issues of today?
Well, the thing is that people suffer, whether it's in 2017 or 1917.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was written by a guy who suffered, and it was compiled by a woman who suffered for the whole 10 years after her husband died. She had to take care of their little five-year-old daughter. And for 10 years, she was suffering. The last 3 years of those 10 years, she was compiling this book and picking out parts to put in it. And she lived many years after that and saw the fruit of her hard work, that the book was translated into over 40 languages, now been printed over 14 million times. And like you know, so many people have benefited from her hard work and from his speaking. I think the reason it connects with us here 100 years later is just that you know, it's about the suffering that we go through and the purpose for it, which is God getting close to us and us getting close to him. And despite us being knuckleheads, like you said, God can work with us to the point where we become close to him.
Amen. Dr. Jed McCosko has been our guest, one of the contributors. Just outstanding contribution to Utmost Ongoing, the new book that is being released. Just so happens to be on the 100th anniversary of the passing of one incredible man of God, a man who suffered, a man who was vulnerable to share his sufferings and to share, importantly, the faithfulness of God and his words, which are so profound. And we're grateful for this new gift, Utmost Ongoing. Jed, congratulations for it. The book available at all the usual places, I'm sure, and will be linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson.